I am at the Tacoma Police Department headquarters, and I'm waiting for Sergeant Bob Thompson of the Puyallup Police Department. He is part of this team called Target Zero, which is like a task force that runs DUI emphasis patrols, meaning they go out and they look specifically for drivers who are under the influence of drugs or alcohol. I just caught Sergeant Thompson on the phone a little while ago, and he said he just made a traffic stop, and he's heading back here now with the driver.
How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
Good. We're going right over here to Tacoma PD to do the process here. So
what's happening now exactly?
You got a person under arrest for DUI, so.
The sullen young woman in the back of Thompson's cruiser is headed to her official breathalyzer test.
Hey, Puyallup PD, I got a BAC on one.
Inside the police station, she blows a .09, exceeding the legal limit for alcohol in the blood. That's enough to send her to Pierce County Jail.
Hey, Puyallup, to book a female.
How about that?
If the case had been about marijuana instead of alcohol, this would have been a lot more complicated. Alcohol has a per se limit. That means if your blood level's over, you're basically guilty. There's no equivalent for pot, so even though alcohol is legal and marijuana isn't, it can be trickier to bust someone for driving stoned than driving drunk. Initiative 502 aims to change that by establishing a legal limit for marijuana in the bloodstream. That would change a process that, right now, relies heavily on the officer's judgment.
You've got somebody that's doing some weird driving abnormally.
That could be something as little as a wide turn or failing to dim your brights.
The officer has a reason to stop him. Person's not quite right.
The officer would ask the person to get out of their car and walk a straight line, stand on one leg. The driver might blow into a breath test to see if they're drunk.
And if they're impaired by drugs, they take him to the station and call for a drug recognition expert to come and do an eval.
A drug recognition expert is specially trained to spot things like quivering eyelids and a racing pulse. If he determines the driver is on drugs, he can request a blood test. But even if that test shows some amount of marijuana in the blood, the law doesn't tell us at what level the person is too high to drive. That's why Thompson says a lot of cops would like to see a hard and fast per se limit.
Per se's are always better. That's been an age old, ever since I've been in DRE, is why don't we have a per se law for, you know, drugs? And the problem is, it affects people so differently.
The same dose might flatten one user and barely affect another. So fast forward to the courtroom. For a prosecutor, that uncertainty can be a challenge.
Prosecutors across the state have expressed frustration that they're having a difficult time proving cases involving marijuana-impaired drivers.
Courtney Popp is with the State Traffic Safety Commission working on DUI cases.
Some of those people think it's okay that if someone's driving under marijuana, then must not really be impaired.
Some of those people meaning jurors?
Yes, yeah. Jurors.
A legal blood limit is supposed to give jurors a concrete standard, but Pop says it wouldn't be so simple. Even a test that exceeds that limit, 5 nanograms of the active ingredient THC, might not be enough.
The defense is very vigorous in driving under the influence cases, and although it often feels as a prosecutor that if you have a blood test admitted, it should be an easy conviction, it's not always the case.
A defense lawyer might attack the science behind a legal limit. Attorney and activist Jeff Steinborn certainly would.
Virtually every one of the people who writes these studies ends up concluding the science really isn't ready yet for us to draw a connection between a particular level of THC and impairment.
The scientific studies back him up, to a point. Pot is not like booze. There's no broad agreement that 5 nanograms is the right number, or that there is a right number. But large authoritative studies conclude that marijuana does impair driving, and the higher the dose, the worse the effects, especially when combined with alcohol.
Everybody drinky drinky.
It's after midnight, and crowds of young people mingle in front of the bars on Tacoma's 6th Avenue. Sergeant Thompson is scanning the roads, looking for DUIs. He says the drunk drivers he arrests still outnumber stoned ones, but he believes that could tilt if pot is legalized.
You know, if it gets legalized, I just think you're going to see more people that think it's okay, and it's something you can buy at the store. You know, I just think we're going to see an increase in the number of collisions and the number of arrests for people that are under the influence of marijuana.
Coming up on 2 a.m., Thompson spots a black Lexus with the headlight out. Minutes later, the driver's on the sidewalk, trying to walk a straight line. Then out comes the breath test and the handcuffs.
What did I blow?
He asked the officer. .125 comes the answer. There's no argument. He's over the limit. The guy is drunk. Backers say the marijuana initiative would bring that same kind of clarity to taking stone drivers off the road. But like many things in a world where pot is legal, how it plays out could still be pretty messy. Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.